Doggone, I gotta vet those testimonies more. Tell you what. Never mind, Enid. I don't want to be rude or anything like that. That was awesome. Thanks, darling. That was awesome. That was awesome. And Denise has been healed recently of so many things. I don't think there's much left in you that God needs to heal, is there? I mean, I got the arthritis, got the back, got the everything going. Praise God, he's so good. Well, I might as well just read this too. Gerald handed this to me. It's a report that's come out of one of his Bible colleges in Malaysia, where they use the materials that Gerald wrote years ago and have been editing over the decades and improving, and it's just gone all over the globe. You know, it's in Russia, it's in South America, it's in Indonesia, it's in Malaysia. Let me just read this to you. Sunther Ismail, who is a student with Faith Life Training College, FLTC, in Miri, they use Gerald's material there, wanted to quit the training halfway through and go to work. The night before he quit the training center on the 22nd of February last year, he met with an accident at about 9 p.m. The car was a total wreck. He suffered a broken neck and backbone and had multiple injuries. He was pronounced dead by the police. The police ordered his blood-soaked body to be sent to the hospital for post-mortem before his family could claim the body. Pastor Peter Racha, who is the director of FLTC, was called to the hospital about 2 a.m. He went with Robert Ajang, Sunther's fellow student and a good friend. When they arrived, they saw the lifeless body soaked in blood. While waiting for the doctor to return from getting Sunther's x-ray, Pastor Peter and Robert began to pray in tongues. Pastor Peter commanded the angel of death to leave Sunther and life to enter his body while laying a hand on Sunther's forehead and another holding Sunther's right hand, which was very cold. All of a sudden, Sunther began to grip Pastor Peter's right hand tightly and lifted it up at the word Amen. And Pastor Peter was shocked to see Sunther suddenly open his eyes, and they were red as blood. Sunther said, "Robert, keep my word." Robert was stunned. Sunther continued, "The big man beside you with golden hair who took me up and brought me down gave it to me." And Sunther looked around but could see no one. The doctor who heard them praying began to shout, "Gileka, Gileka, are you crazy?" Pastor Peter told the doctor that Sunther spoke and he wanted to sit, but the doctor reconfirmed with him with x-ray photos saying, "How can it be? His neck and his backbone are already broken." It was then the doctor realized that Sunther's eyes were wide open. An osteologist who was called to check on Sunther, to which Sunther responded that everything was fine. The big man whom Sunther was talking about was an angel. Both Pastor Peter and Robert could not see the angel. The sword was the word of God. The angel gave it to him and told him to go back to the training, ICM training, Gerald's material, and finish it as God has a plan for him. Sunther went into the FLTC ICM training and graduated. He is now serving God. Oh, that's a good day. Everybody say, that's a good day. That's a good day in the kingdom. That's the stuff. Yeah, when you live with an awesome God. You too, Sue, what do you got? Sue, if you're going to talk.
Are we taking over your job? Oh, okay. It was an awesome place, but the language out there is completely different to what I'm used to. And so I prayed, and I said, "God, I don't want to hear those words. I don't like them." And he said, "Treat them as a B-52, over the top." So I did that, and I started to see the people there who were hurting. And so I started to talk to them with just lots of joy and fun and joking and laughing. And there are people, one of them in particular had been stabbed up in Rollingston. I was on a trip with them peddling pink for a cure for breast cancer. I was only supposed to drive up to Cairns and then fly home on the Saturday. And they were a driver short. So I said, "Okay, I'll help you out. Lost my airfare, doesn't matter, it's only money." And then I was only supposed to go to Townsville, and just prior to Townsville is a place called Rollingstone, which is very, very small. But even going into that place, I sensed evil. And I'd gone to bed, and then these people were saying, "We need you, Luga, Luga, we need you. Frank's been stabbed." And I went, "Right, And I just froze, and I said, I'm sitting here and I'm going to pray. Anyway, it turned out Frank ended up in ICU in Townsville. He'd been slashed from down here to there, in the neck, under the arm. And not one of his organs was affected. That blew me away. And I just said, thank you. So you never know where you're going to be when God's going to use you or ask you to do something. And I ended up losing a train fare because I ended up going from Townsville to Bowen because we'd lost a driver. And so Bowen was just beautiful. But it was empty. And there are people all around this country, this state especially, who have been affected by cancer, either a mother, a sister, an auntie, whatever. And I'm really starting to get cranky about the cancer people because they keep saying a cure for cancer. I say prevention. We've got to start looking at what is causing this. Anyway, that's enough from me. But God bless you. And I had a wonderful time with some really lovely people who I'm going to continue to pray for. Thank you.
Thanks, dear.
Sorry, first thing I want to say is, Enid, you're gorgeous. Just as you're up here and you talk, you're just gorgeous. I think God is teaching us to follow his lead out of the box and go with the flow because he's sovereignly in control of everything. And it's his will done his way. And just a song that really touched me through the week, and it goes along with what was said earlier, it's time to stretch those legs of faith and run into this unknown with truth of your love for us.
Thanks, Jacinta. Wow.
My husband and I have got a motorhome, and on our first trip, this is only 2-3 months ago, we were going on our first day. We left here. And we drove through Kingaroy, you know, past Gympie, Kingaroy. And in between Kingaroy and Gundawindi is this little place called Bell. I don't know if any of you know it, but it's a small little place with just a few houses and a pub and a very, very tiny little caravan park that might hold 20 vans. That's about it. It's very small. Anyway, I had said to the Lord in the morning, you know, use me if you want to. So anyway, we got there. My husband, by the way, is not saved. And anyway, so he doesn't know about any of this. But it's my job when we arrive to go to the office and book us in and, you know, pay for the night. And we just stayed one night. Anyhow, there's this lady there and she was in terrible back pain. And she's actually her friend or a cousin or somebody was helping her and she had gone to bed. But she was still there. She was going to go to bed to lie down because her back, she'd cricked her back or something. She could hardly move. And she was only about 40-something. And so I said to her, when I realised that she had a, you know, they said almost immediately when I got in there, they said she's done her back in, blah, blah, blah. So I said, oh, well, I'm a Christian. Would you like me to pray for you? And she said, yes. And they were Christians too, which I thought was amazing. And so I prayed for her, laid hands on her and prayed for her, and she went to bed. And I just thought it was amazing that the first place we go to, God had a job for me. And we left the next day, so I don't know what happened to her, but I thought, well, I'll leave that to God. It's not my worry. He knows what to do.
Amen. That's good.
I just sensed the Lord just wanted that I should share something with you that happened about 12 months ago. The church we're in, I was asked to share a word at the Sunday night service with the youth. The pastor thought because I was pretty old, I could have a word of wisdom just to share with them. And I wasn't sure what to share. I just sensed it must have been from God that what I should share was, never let your fear of failure be greater than your fear of regret. Now, we've heard Enid and Denise sharing this morning. They were fearful when they set out. But I'm sure if they hadn't have done anything, they would have regretted it. And that's painful. That is really painful.
So true. That's so true.
I wasn't expecting this morning, but the last few months, God has really been speaking to me, and you need to watch what you ask, because I said to God one morning, Lord, I am I'm available for you, and I really, really meant that. Over the years I've said it, but I don't think I've really meant it when I've said it, but I really meant it this time. So I said, Lord, what can I do for you? There's a lot of people out there that it's just a lost world. I'm in Nambour, and you've brought me from Perth to this place for a reason. I knew years ago that I felt in my heart, and I thought it was the pastor that I was with in a little church, that I would minister to businesses in Perth, in the city. Well, that never happened. So years ago, and just a few months ago, it did. And I thought, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? Step out in faith, he said. So I did, and I prayed. And I came up to the church here and spoke to Paul, and I told him what God wanted me to do. So he said, okay, he wanted me to actually go into all the small businesses of Nambour. Not the big ones, not like Woolies and that. It was just the small people, because I felt they're all hurting. And when I first came into Nambour, my first thing was, this place needs painting, tidying up. I see all the shops closing down, a lot of shops closing down, and I just prayed all the time for these people. Bring new owners in and revitalize the place. So I came to Paul, and he said, let's give them a present when you go out. And I says, okay. So we tossed out what to do. In the end, Paul donated some money for me to go out, and I bought lots and lots of chocolates, and it was absolutely perfect, the chocolates that God showed me. And I was going to buy these chocolates and actually wrap them up and put a bow on them for everyone. And God provided that too, and I went into Woolies, and standing right in front of me was these beautiful box of chocolates pre-wrapped with a bow on for just under $6 each. So Marie and I asked Marie, she said, yeah, okay. So we went out with our, we're called the chocolate ladies now. We went out with our big bags of chocolates in the heat of the day, like it was March, and it was so hot, and I thought, oh, these chocolates. So over the probably a couple of months, we did it, I suppose. We went into each shop. We ended up going to about 50 shops, 50 small shops. And each person, at the end, we were only in there, we did like Enid, we waited until nobody was in the shop so that we weren't taking up their time with the customer. And we said, while we were here on behalf of Flame Tree Baptist Church, we are representing the church with two people, but we are the church. And they stood and listened, and we went in, we said, we want to bless you, and we want to and pray that for prosperity. And as I was walking out the door, we're only there about 5 minutes each shop, if that, some a bit longer if they wanted to speak, but we said, can we pray? And they all said yes, and we just stood there, and we just put our hand on them, and it was just a 30-second prayer. And so Marie was a little bit nervous. She says, go on, you speak first. And we were a good team, weren't we?
Yes, I thought so.
Yeah.
This is one bold lady. I think we went to 66 different businesses.
Yeah, a lot.
In one business, the girl even kissed us. Figure that one out.
Yeah. Yeah. And then quickly, just in the end, through all this, Paul suggested we have a breakfast for these business people. So we had the breakfast, and we had it at the sanctuary at David and Vanessa's place, and they did it up beautiful, absolutely, and it cost them nothing. Their business owners, it didn't cost anything. It was a free breakfast. We made them very welcome. Paul did a beautiful speech about Nambour that I never knew about Nambour. And to let them see that years ago that the business people was combined with the church. And now that's all finished. They just don't want to know about God anymore. So there was about 20 of us all there. But what I'm saying is we've all got the Holy Spirit. Ask God to use you for a lost world out there, for our little town. There's still so many of little shops out there that we can all go to. And I just praise God for giving me the boldness, actually. Amen.
Good stuff. Okay. If I sneak up here, I can get a word out edgewise. I love it, actually. I just love it. I mean, you know, this is what gathering together like this is mainly for, to minister to the Lord and then to celebrate what God has been doing in our lives. That's why we gather together. You guys can all read the word on your own, honestly. So we need to get out of the habit of needing to come on Sunday morning to get a spoonful of the word of God from the pastor. Look, we'll continue to bring what God downloads to us, because from the pulpit here, we're getting our direction as a body. And so what we're not trying to do is do Bible studies from the front. You can do that on your own. But if we take your time and take the Lord's time to share from the Word of God, it's because we feel the Lord is giving us some direction and some fine-tuning. And so, isn't that good? Oh, look, I'll give you something in 5 minutes here. Lovely Jesus. You're either laughing because you don't believe me, or you're laughing out of relief, or... Oh, Jesus. I want to talk about dedication, just a few seconds worth here. Last week we talked about the anointing, that we need more of his anointing. We've got to press in for more of his anointing. The way to increase the anointing and the activity of God in our midst, twofold. One was to pray for an increase in angelic activity around us, because wherever the anointing increases, angelic activity increases. We see that in the Word of God. Wherever God's presence is powerful, very often it's accompanied by a vision of angels in our midst as well. And so if that is true, there are verses also true. You want to increase the presence of God, the anointing in our midst, then pray, God, send your worshiping angels, as I was doing this morning. Lord God, to help us worship you. Send your healing angels to empower your purpose in our lives, Lord God. You know, be active in that. And the second was to invest time. Time is the currency of the kingdom, whereby we purchase the oil of his anointing. Okay, so we need to press in for more. And this morning, I just want to have a quick word regarding dedication, because the Lord unpacked some things for me that I think are useful to all of us here this morning. Let me just read a few scriptures, one from Exodus 32. And this is the story, the account of the idolatry of the golden calf. And now Moses saw that the people were out of control, for Aaron had let them get out of control to be a derision among their enemies. And then Moses stood at the gate of the camp and said, "Whoever is for the Lord, come to me." And all the sons of Levi gathered together to him. And he said to them, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, every man of you put on his sword on his thigh and go back and forth from gate to gate in the camp, kill every man his brother and every man his friend and every man his neighbor. So the sons of Levi did as Moses instructed, and about 3,000 men of the people fell that day. Then Moses said, dedicate yourselves today to the Lord, for every man has been against his son and against his brother, in order that he may bestow a blessing upon you today. And then also Acts and chapter 2, when they heard this, this is Peter's first sermon, after the falling of the coming of the filling of the Holy Spirit, when Peter, reticent and uncertain, like so many of the testimonies we've heard this morning, got filled with the Holy Spirit and was transformed into a different man. And his words pierced their heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent, each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promises for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. So then, those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, to the prayer. And the people were in a sense of awe. 3,000 men die on the one occasion. 3,000 men and women and children are added on another occasion. This is the demarcation. This is the dividing line between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. God teaching a people how to contain his presence, and by the New Covenant now enabling us, empowering us to carry the same. No longer fearful for our very lives, but where before sin brought death, now grace and life are ministered into the darkest areas of sin, and they produce life. And the Moses response here, and again, very quickly, guys, Moses' response to that very difficult day. It's hard for us just to read these few short verses from Exodus 32 and comprehend or fathom the drama of that day, the fearful, awesome sense of God's judgment and presence that day, wherein Israel administered the judgment of God themselves to one another. This is a big deal. And for me this morning, it represents for us all that is broken in our lives, all the difficulties, all of the greatest challenges we may yet have, all of the things that have fallen short, whereby we have come short of the glory of God, all of our dreams that have gone into the closet, all of our aspirations that have died down to a fizzle, all of the relationships that are broken, all of the uncertainties, all of this stuff, all of the worst of it, can be wrapped up in a scenario such as we've read about here, where brothers and fathers kill their own family members and neighbors and friends because of the holiness of a God. And what is Moses' response to that? He now says in verse 29, as I read, dedicate yourselves today to the Lord, for every man has been against his son and against his brother, in order that he may bestow a blessing on you today. Boy, I tell you, talk about spiritual whiplash. Moses says, dedicate yourself. This is an interesting Hebrew word, and this is just what I'll give you this morning. The word is male, and it's a word that is still used every single day in Israel. In fact, it's used most often at the bowser, because what male literally means is fill. So you pull up to the pump, and the first words out of your mouth to the attendant is male. Fill it up. Fill it up. The word male, translated here by Moses as dedicate, in other versions consecrate, it literally means to fill up. So what is Moses saying? Fill yourselves up. Fill yourselves up. Elsewhere, the word is used, and almost always we find it as translated fill or to be filled up. Later on in Exodus, at the end of this wonderful book, the tabernacle is completed, and the Lord dedicates the tabernacle to his own purposes, and the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. In other words, the tabernacle was dedicated to the Lord. And what that means is God himself filled the tabernacle. And again we read that to be dedicated or to male in the purposes of God is to be filled. Psalm 126, our mouth was filled with laughter. filled with laughter, male, dedicated to laughter, hey, and our tongue with joyful shouting, hey. When was the last time your mouth was filled with laughter? I mean, filled. Yeah, Pete. Hey, I mean, we chuckle, and we give polite, you know, laughter, and we, you know, we enjoy a joke and we join in. Oh, but Lord, would you fill our mouths with laughter? Would you dedicate our mouths to laugh for the sheer joy of your goodness and presence, mighty God, to be dedicated to the Lord, to be filled with the Lord. It means to be filled. It also means to fulfill, to fulfill. In Genesis 25:24, the same word male speaks about a pregnant woman whose days are now fulfilled, Rebekah. And Jacob and Esau are now born. Okay, to be dedicated. Is a pregnant woman dedicated to the proposition of babies? You better hope so. It's not a kind of, well, we'll see. And I tell you, ask any pregnant woman, and I had the opportunity to do that on a couple occasions to a woman who's very dear and close to me. And there were days when the fulfilling of this dedicated purpose got to be onerous. Okay, enough already. I'm that full. Please, Lord, let this baby come. Please, you see. So it means to be filled. It means to fulfill. It means to be dedicated to the Lord. It means to be pregnant with the purposes of God. And until you see them born, until you see them come about, you are driven into the presence of God to cry out for more of him until his purpose is birthed in the earth. Until Jerusalem becomes a praise in all the world. Hey. And if that is not your sensation on occasion, seasonally, if you do not feel the weight of this fulfilling, pulling you into his presence, crying out, Lord, let it be done, then you need to spend more of that coin of your time and get into his anointing, get into his presence more. It also, in fact, means not only to be filled and to fulfill, but to be overfilled. It speaks, the word male is used of the Jordan when it floods its banks and is difficult all the more so to cross for Israel, who stands on the banks wondering how they're going to cross this river. And it was on that occasion that Israel was in flood. It was male, it was overflowing. And so now come back to this exhortation on the part of Moses to his people and then by the Spirit to you and I this morning. Okay. Dedicate yourself. Dedicate yourself. Okay. I need to be filled up. I need to be fulfilled. I need to be pregnant. I need to be birthing something. I need to be overflowing. With what? With what? Because you can be dedicated to all sorts of things. You can be dedicated to your own wealth, your own satisfaction, your own family, your own agenda, your own vocation, your own grievances, your own fear. You can be dedicated to your own bitterness. And thus you will be filled with bitterness or fear or greed. So Moses says, dedicate yourself what? To the Lord. To the Lord. We are, as we've said on numerous occasions over the years, we are, by the definition of the Greek word for humankind, the upward-looking ones. We are dedicated to him. God, it's all about you. I want to be so filled with you. I want to be pregnant with your purpose. I want to be overflowing with your presence. God, it's about you. And we've said this before, too, that as we focus on him, as we lift our gaze and focus on Jesus, all the stuff of our world, all the stuff of our lives, all of our circumstances are dragged into line under the headship of Jesus. I was just talking with the pastors in our regular meeting this last week, and once again, we were affirming that as a body of believers, we are, while we are concerned with issues, with social questions in our town, with needs, and all of the stuff of life, we want to be careful that as pastors, we're not going to stop on the journey and turn aside to the point that now we are dedicated to answering social problems in town. Or we are now dedicated to making people feel better. Or we're dedicated even to causing families to be victorious, as important as that is. We are dedicated, as are you, to Jesus, to the Lord. And all these other things will then find their rightful place under the headship of the Savior. And we will find victory there. Because what does it now say? It says, we are dedicated to the Lord. That is to say, we are to be filled up. Even last week, we reminded ourselves of that verse in Ephesians 5. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled. Dedicate. It's a strong word. I'm feeling it in my spirit this morning, guys. And it's a challenge to a complacent Western church that we need to come out, put wheels on the car, be dedicated to God. Be dedicated to God. And so when we go out on purpose, though we feel fearful, though we even argue with God and say, well, that can't be the right old woman with white hair. There must be another one. That we push through still. And we present ourselves available to God's purpose. Why? Because we're dedicated to Him. And He's filling us and overspilling us for His purpose. We are dedicated to the Lord. Why? Moses says parenthetically, for every man has been against his son and against his brother. There's division. There's all sorts of strife. And it's a picture of the modern church today, too. Where although the Lord is healing, we still got a ways to go. But let it not be said of anyone in Flame Tree that you have a bad word or a critical word to say about a single other fellowship on the globe. May you be people whose mouths are filled with blessing, hey, for the body of Christ. And may you be a people, and all of us who walk humbly in the face of different theologies, where nevertheless Jesus is declared Lord, then bless you, bless you. I ran into a couple on my morning walk with the dog yesterday who were from the Plymouth Brethren up in Mumbai. And you could see they got a little nervous when I told them I was the Baptist pastor, because I think Brethren, exclusive, closed, open, any otherwise, they've come under a lot of fire from the rest of the body of Christ. But I'll tell you something, they love Jesus. The wife looked at me, and it was real cute. She looked at me and said, and of course we have a dress code. And I could have said something. I could have said something like, so do we. And it's whatever you got, it, you know, whatever fell at the foot of your bed the night before, you can wear to church. But you know, it would have been dishonoring. It would have been dishonoring. We want to be a people whose mouths are filled with blessing. And why does Moses say, dedicate yourself to Jesus? Because when we look at Jesus, then all the stuff that has hitherto divided us as a body of Christ and fueled our need to raise ourselves up on the foundation of criticism and judgment of others, especially the rest of the body of Christ, all of that falls away. All of that becomes insignificant. It just disappears. It's robbed of power. There's no wind in the sail. We say, oh, yeah, whereas before, you know, let me correct you. Now it's kind of like, oh, that's interesting. But aren't we in love with Jesus? Yeah, yeah, yeah. See, dedicate yourself to the Lord, Moses says. Why? Because you are in such strife. There's such division. That is the only solution to the breach, to the pain that you've brought upon yourselves. Dedicate yourself to the Lord. And then what will be the consequence? He goes on then to say, in order that He may bestow a blessing upon you today. What is the blessing? What is the blessing that God will bestow? The blessing, in fact, is God Himself. It's His very presence. His very presence. And so Moses goes on later on in the next chapter to say to the Lord, in that famous conversation that Moses has with our Father, he says, if your presence doesn't go with us, don't lead us up from here, for how can it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not by your going with us so that we, I and your people, may be, listen, distinguished from all the other people who are upon the face of the earth? What is the distinguishing mark of the people of God? It is God. We are the people of God. We are dedicated to Him, the mark of His presence upon our lives, so that wherever we go, even with trembling knees and halting words, something eternal transpires. Something of the overspilling presence of a life dedicated to the Lord touches an individual next to us. And we accomplish the will of God. Hey, The blessing of God is his presence. And so as we read earlier too, and I'll just close now, guys, from Acts chapter 2 in Peter's first preaching, we go on, find ourselves at Acts chapter 4, and I'll just close with this. Because this, again, there are so many similarities between these passages, these accounts from Exodus 32 and 33 and Acts 2, 3, and 4. You study them for yourselves. But here, now as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. Okay. This is the deal, guys. It must be a settled issue with us. It was for Moses. After that conversation with the Lord, Moses never found himself isolated by God. God never left. His presence was with Moses until the end of his days. And I don't believe it was because the Lord himself was being, you know, was equivocating or debating internally whether he should stay with Israel or not. He wanted to see Moses' heart, and it was Moses who cried out. Moses had revelation. He understood, if we go without you, well, there's no point. And that must be a revelation that comes into our spirits this morning, too. If we go without him, there's just no point. If we gather together without him, there's just no point. And so increasingly, you're going to discover, brothers and sisters, as we come even on a gathering like this on the weekend, and we come together to worship, as if we as pastors feel like we've slipped into some sort of religious format and we have not met with God, then, well, all bets are off. And we got to press in. We got to press in. It's got to be real, or there's no point. All right? And so, too, John and Peter were beginning to be recognized as, hang on a second, they were with Yeshua. They were with Jesus in the natural, but it must be true of us in the spirit as well. Wherever you go, you want a people who look at you and they scratch their head. They may not know that you've been with Jesus, but they got to know, huh? Right? It's got to be at least that. Huh? That was different. That was interesting. That was amazing. That was wonderful. God loves me. Okay. Dedicated to the Lord. So, we dedicate ourselves again, Lord. We repent. We return. We seek you for a filling, Lord God, that only you can accomplish. And we stand upon your word that says, if we will ask, you will answer. Stand up with me, everyone. Yeah. May your mouths be filled with a yes. Amen. Stand up. Guys, I know this is the same old word once again, but may it come, may it be conveyed to you this morning with life. May it come to you with anointing. May it come to you with an urgency. We are in amazing days, and if the body of Christ is not filled with the presence of God, if we're not dedicated to his purpose, well, there's no point. So, Lord, oh, let there be a point, mighty God. Stir our hearts, Lord, compel us. We give you permission, Lord God, to give us such an appetite, such a hunger, such a dissatisfaction, such a passion as cannot be satisfied except in your presence alone. And by your abiding presence in us, on us, and overflowing our lives. Oh, Lord, all of us say to you as we come into your presence again today, Lord, male, male. Everybody say male. Fill, God, fill us. Male. We thank you for it. In faith, Lord, we have received. You've put your mark upon us once again. And let us walk in the reality of it this week in Jesus' glorious name. Amen. And if anybody here has not surrendered to the love of God, even for the first time, may it be that today is the day. If there's somebody perhaps, perchance, that has never just said, Lord, yes. You've said yes. You've never said yes to the love of God. You've never surrendered. You've never given over the control of your life to a Savior who is passionately in love with you and died for you. Then will you please come up here after the service and let us talk with you and pray with you. And if anybody needs further ministry and healing, just come over here and we've got our ministry team that will pray with you as well. And let's continue to press into God for every good thing. God bless you, and we'll see you at what time? 5 o'clock. God bless you, everybody.